from the quote of Imam Ahmad, where he mentioned two texts from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said he mentioned two particular texts, two aspects of belief in Allah. You can remember the two texts that he mentioned, the two aspects of belief that Imam Ahmad began by mentioning. Allah's descending, Allah's Nuzul, Allah's descending to the last third of the night, and the last third of the night remains, and the Ru'ya, Allah's being seen by the believers and the hereafter. So, mention these two as examples. Imam Ahmad mentioned two things that we have to have with regard to the light of these texts. Put them out, the two things. Iman in them, we have true faith in them, truly believe in them, and secondly, that we do tasdeeq of them, we affirm their truthfulness. The like of the text he mentioned, and as he said, and their light from the ahadith. All the texts of the book and the sunnah with regard to Allah's names and attributes. We have to have iman in them and affirm their truthfulness. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that this is the opposite of the way of the people of innovation with regard to these texts. And for people of innovation, they have a different approach. What he mentioned with regard to the approach of the people of innovation, how do they face the light of these texts? Either they deny them, some of them outright deny them. Secondly, that they distort their wording, they do misinterpret their wording, do ta'wil of their wording, explain it with a false meaning, and distort the wording. So either they deny it, some of them deny them, or some give them a false meaning. Who can remember the meaning of Imam Ahmad saying that we affirm, we have iman to these attributes, and he mentioned the word, who can remember, literally, without a how? Who can remember the meaning of Imam Ahmad's statement? The Shaykh al-Fawzan explained, without a how? What did Imam Ahmad mean by that and intend by that when he said, without a how? Without seeking after and going into how they are. Only Allah knows the how of his attributes. Only Allah knows the how of his attributes. And that Imam Ahmad, the Shaykh Razan mentioned, he did not mean by that that there is no how to them. He means there is no how, rather it means that we don't seek after the how because we cannot know how. We do not know how those attributes are. Who can remember an argument used by the people of innovation against affirming Allah's descending in the last third of the night? Instead of just affirming the text that Allah descends in the last third of the night to the lowest heaven, some people of innovation rejected. And they use some sort of an argument. Who can remember what they say? Some sort of logical argument, maybe. But they bring the lack of logic into the affair, and they say, well, the last third of the night varies from place to place in the world. That the night moves around the world. The world being a globe, and the night moves the whole way around. So, it's the last third of the night at some place throughout the night. In one place it's the last third of the night, in another place it's not the last third of the night. So we use this to accept it. It's right and deny this point of view. Who can remember Sheikh Al-Fawzan's brief answer to this? Who can remember the answer of Sheikh Al-Fawzan? Establishing the point, this is not arguing, but the text is authentic, so it's promised to have, as Imam Ahmad said, to have iman in it and to believe in it and not to bring the light of these arguments. And then he made the point that he actually stated that who is the creator of the night? Who is the creator of the different regions? And indeed, that is Allah. So this should not be taken in any as an excuse to try and deny Allah's descending. Because Allah is the creator of the night, Allah is the creator of the different regions. And Allah descends, Allah is fully capable of descending as and however He wishes. So that is not something that prevents Allah descending, for lack of these logical arguments. Who can remember something else that Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned? He mentioned another attribute of Allah, Allah's maji, Allah's coming, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ, and your Lord will come. And who can remember what Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, the people of innovation, or some of the people of innovation, state about this attribute of Allah's coming, how they twist and misinterpret it. Yeah. But they say it means the coming of Allah's command. So they refuse to affirm that Allah Himself comes, will come on the day of resurrection. And they say instead, no, it means the coming of His command. And who can remember briefly the answer of Sheikh Al-Fawzan to this? Just briefly the answer he gave, or some of the answers. Yeah. But this will amount, what they're saying, it amounts to trying to correct the Qur'an. Allah the Most High said in His book, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ, and your Lord comes. And he did not say the commandment of your Lord comes, rather he said your Lord comes. So it's as if they're trying to make a correction and trying to better and amend and correct that which Allah Himself has said in His book, which of course is deviation. Who can remember the saying of Imam Ahmad that when we affirm the attributes of Allah that he mentioned in part of his speech, وَلَا مَعْنَى, and without giving a meaning, literally, without meaning. What did Imam Ahmad mean by that? As explained by Shaykh Al-Fawzan, what did Imam Ahmad mean by that? وَلَا مَعْنَى, and no meaning. Given by the Jahmiyyah and the like, and those who twist Allah's attributes, the false meaning and the false interpretation, that's what Imam Ahmad was denying, because he was refuting them. So we do not affirm the false meanings which they invent, the new and false meanings which they invent. We do not mean that we deny the actual meaning in accordance with the Arabic language. We don't. Imam Ahmad didn't mean that. That is clear from the context and the rest of the speech.
It's stuck.
It means that we don't give any meaning to the attributes. Otherwise there'd be nothing left to affirm. So, in Shaykh Al-Fawzan's explanation, he mentioned the Mufawwida, that the Mufawwida can seek to use the like of this saying of Imam Ahmad. Who can remember who are the Mufawwida? Briefly, who are the Mufawwida? People of Taqweem. This is important. This is another important point, because there are many of them around. Many of these people around these days, even if they're not known by that name, but there are many people who hold their belief. There are people, Mufawwida, they affirm the wording of the attribute, like an ayah or a hadith which mentions the attribute of Allah, so they affirm the wording. They say, for example, we affirm a yadid for Allah, or we affirm a wajh for Allah, or the like. But they will not affirm the meaning. They say, we do not know the meaning of that. We just affirm the word, the meaning, we don't know what it is. We do tafweed of it, we entrust it to Allah, only He knows the meaning. So they're not able to distinguish, for example, between a yad, between his wajh, between a wuzu. It's all just a list of words to them. They affirm the word, and they are ignorant about the meaning. And you see, very commonly find this, they actually say this about Allah's attributes, that they will affirm the wording and be quiet about it. So we entrust the meaning to Allah, we leave the meaning, not the meaning. Shaykh al-Fawzan makes the point that the rest of the speech of Imam Ahmad makes clear that he is not one of these people, and that's not the meaning that he's intending here. When he says, وَلَا مَعْنَى, he doesn't mean we don't give any meaning to the attribute, we don't affirm any meaning. Rather, we deny the false meaning given by the people of innovation. Shaykh al-Fawzan also gives a quote from another Imam, from the Salaf, from Imam Malik, to support this idea that the Salaf did not negate the meaning, or they didn't claim ignorance of the meaning. So he quoted a famous quote from one of the Imams in this regard. You can remember the Imam who quoted, and the famous quote from him, to prove this is not the position of the Salaf, to claim ignorance of the meaning. Quoted Imam Malik, the famous Imam of Medina, Imam Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah, and he mentioned with regard to the attribute of al-istiwa, was ascending over his throne. And he mentioned al-istiwa al-ma'lum, that ascending is known, is something known. So he didn't say this is an attribute, we don't know the meaning of it's unknown to us. No, he said it's something known. And it's the kayf, the how, is not known. It's the how that's not known.
What did you say?
And to continue, when we reach page 51, halfway through the quote of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, and continued, وَلَا نَصِفُ اللَّهَ بِأَكْثَرَ مِمَّا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. And we do not reject anything, or rather, and we do not describe Allah with more than what he described himself with. وَلَا نَصِفُ اللَّهَ بِأَكْثَرَ مِمَّا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. And we do not describe Allah with more than what he described himself with. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in explanation, likewise, we follow and we do not innovate. We do not describe Allah with other than what he described himself with. Because the names and the attributes are tawqifiyah. That's the word that we've had before, tawqifiyah. The names and attributes can only be affirmed with a text. That tawqifiyah can only be affirmed with a text. He said, so we do not call our Lord, we do not give a name to our Lord, and we do not describe Him, we do not give an attribute to Him, except in accordance with what occurs in the book and the Sunnah. And we do not invent names for Him from ourselves. And we do not invent attributes for Him from ourselves. This is a principle, that the names and the attributes are Tawqif Liyah. Nothing from them is to be affirmed except that which occurs in the book and the Sunnah. So, as I mentioned, the principle is names and attributes of Tawqif Liyah, and he explained what he meant by that, and nothing from them is affirmed except what occurs in the book and the Sunnah. Then the saying of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, continues, بِلَا حَدٍّ وَلَا غَيَةٍ, without giving confines and limits. Without giving confines and limits. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, بِلَا حَدٍّ وَلَا غَيَةٍ, without giving confines and limits, meaning, without us saying how the attributes of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, are. We do not say kayf. We do not say how the attributes of Allah, the Perfect and Most High, are. Such that we mention confines for them, and limits for them, and how they are. This is not a part of our knowledge. And it is not something that is within our ability to do. No one knows their confines and their limits and how they are except Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So again, he makes the point. Without us giving a confine or us giving a limit to its attributes. Because we do not know that. No one knows that except Allah Himself. Then Imam Ahmad, Allah continued, mentioned the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. The ayah from Surah Shura, the 42nd Surah, ayah 11. The explanation, there is nothing like Him, and He is the All-Hearing, the All-Seeing. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, this noble ayah is the principle in this matter. That Allah the Majestic and Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing like Him. And for Him are names and attributes which are not resembled by the attributes and names of the created beings. Even though they have these attributes and are called with these names, however, along with the tremendous difference. And he gives examples of this. This saying here. Even though the creation have these names, even though the creation have these attributes and have these names, yet there is a tremendous difference. And he explains that sentence in the next sentence. He said, so the Creator has hearing, and the created being has hearing. The Creator has the attribute of seeing, and the created being has sight. Allah speaks, and the created being speaks. However, along with the difference that there is between the attributes of the Creator and the attributes of the creation. So we do not say that the attributes of the Lord, the Majestic and Most High, resemble the attributes of the creation. Rather, We believe that the attributes of the Creator befit Him and are particular to Him, He the Majestic and Most High. And the attributes of the created beings are particular to them and are as befit them. Again, another important point that he mentions, very often misunderstood, that we affirm true and real attributes for the Creator and true and real attributes for the creation. And just as we affirm hearing for the Creator, we affirm hearing for the creation, and so on. But with the tremendous difference between the attributes of the Creator and the attributes of the creation. For the Creator has attributes that befit His majesty, has perfect attributes, and the creation have attributes as befit them and befit their deficiency and the like. But both are real attributes. Then he said, Bozan said, Laysa kamithlihi shay'. First part of the ayah, Laysa kamithlihi shay'. There is nothing like him. He said, so the hearing is not like the hearing. And the hearing of the Creator is not like the hearing of the creation. And the seeing is not like the seeing. And the seeing of the Creator is not like the seeing of the creation. And the ability is not like the ability. And the hand, or the two hands rather, is not like the hands of the creation. And the face is not like the face. So there is no resemblance between the attributes of the Creator and the attributes of the created beings. So he's saying, Laysa kamithlihi shay', there is nothing like him. This is a refutation of tashbih. This is a refutation, rejection of resemblance. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, second part of the ayah, with the explanation, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. This is a refutation of ta'atil. This is a refutation of negation, denial of the attributes. A refutation of those who negate the names and attributes of Allah. And Allah has affirmed for Himself names and attributes. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, as occurs in that last part of the ayah. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Sheikh said, السَّمِيعُ, the all-hearing. This is a name from His names. And الْبَصِيرُ, the all-seeing, is a name from His names. And hearing and seeing are two attributes from His attributes. He, the one free of all imperfections and the Most High. Then he mentions further, ayahs mentioning these attributes. He said, He the Most High said, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمْ أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَىٰ. Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, ayah 46. With the explanation, an address from Allah the Most High to His prophets Musa and Harun alayhi as-salam, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَىٰ. The explanation, I am with the two of you, hearing you and seeing you. Shaykh Fawzan said, أَسْمَعُ, meaning that He hears and that He sees, He the perfect and Most High, whatever the creation do. Goes to further text, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, ayah 265. With the explanation, and Allah sees whatever you do. Shaykh Fawzan said, He sees whatever things you do. Nothing is hidden from Him. He is the one free of all imperfections. أَلَّذِي يَرَاكَ حِينَ تَقُومُ وَتَقَلُّبَكَ بالساجدين إنه هو السميع العليم. Surah Al-Shu'ara, the 26th Surah, ayahs 218 to 220. With the explanation, He, the one who sees you, Allah, the one who sees you when you stand up to pray, and your movements amongst those who prostrate. Indeed, He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. And Shaykh Fawzan said, and he said to Musa and Harun, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَىٰ. So Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 46, the ayah we had just a short while ago. With the explanation, I am with the two of you, I hear and I see. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning that he hears whatever Fir'aun said to them. He hears whatever Fir'aun says to them. And he sees whatever he faces them with, from haughtiness and tyranny. And continued, Imam continued with the same of Imam Ahmad, وَنَقُولُ كَمَا قَالَ. And we say just as he said. Shaykh Fawzan said, we say just as Allah, the Perfect and Most High said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Meaning in the ayah that just came just before the statement. We say, Allah the Most High says that, and we say just as He said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like Him, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So, and Shaykh Fawzan said, so we take this ayah as a basic principle, and we refute with it the mushabbiha, those who declare resemblance between the Creator and creation. And we refute with it the mu'attila, those who deny Allah's attributes. And with this ayah we refute both of those groups. Each part of the ayah, the first part, is a refutation of the mushabbiha, those who say that Allah resembles creation. They are refuted by the first part, later in the future shape. There is nothing like them. And the mu'attila, those who deny His attributes, are refuted by the second part. Wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. And He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. And He continues with the quote of Imam Ahmad, wa nasifuhu bima wasafa bihi nafsahu wa la nata'adda dhalik. And we describe Him with whatever attributes He described Himself with. And we do not go beyond that. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, we describe Him with whatever attributes He described Himself with in His book or upon the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we do not exceed that. Because this is a matter which is tawqifi. It's a matter of tawqifi. Again, the same word. It's a matter which is limited to text. There is no entry point into it for the intellects, nor for people's thoughts, nor for that which people deem to be good ideas. And we continue with the quote of Imam Ahmad, وَلَا يَبْلُغُهُ وَصْفُ الْوَاسِفِينَ. And He is not reached by the description of those who attempt to describe Him. He is not reached by the description of those who attempt to describe Him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, no one is able to describe Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Rather, it is Allah, it is only Allah, the Majestic and Most High, who can describe Himself. Or that His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam can describe Him. As for other than the Prophet from the creation, then no one is able to describe Allah, the Majestic and Most High. He the Most High said, and of course an ayah and evidence of this, of course two ayahs, or of course one ayah rather, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 110. the explanation, and they do not encompass him with knowledge. They do not encompass Allah with knowledge. Shaykh Fawzan said, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ. They do not encompass him, he said, meaning Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Every man with knowledge, Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning they do not know about him except what he himself has taught them about him. And he gives an example to make this clear why this is the case. He said, you, if you are ignorant of something, then are you able to describe it? If you're ignorant of something, you don't have knowledge of something, can you describe it? Of course not. He said, you are not able to describe something which you do not have knowledge of. So you do not have knowledge of the Self of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, and of His names and His attributes. And you are not able to describe the Self. You are not able to describe the Self, He the Perfect and Most High. Rather, it is just He who describes it, or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who describes it with what is sent to him by revelation. Because He, being Allah the Most High, knows best about Himself, better than anyone else, He the Majestic and Most High. And he continued with the quote of Imam Ahmad, نؤمن بالقرآن كله محكمه ومتشابهه. We have iman in all of the Quran, in that which is clear and decisive, محكم, and in whatever is initially unclear, متشابه. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is the way of the rasikhun of the ilm. This is the way of those firmly grounded in knowledge. They say, we have iman, we truly believe in the Quran, all of it, in that which is clear and decisive, and in that which is initially unclear. So we refer the mutashabih, we refer that which is initially unclear, back to the muhkam, back to that which is clear and decisive, and use it to explain it with. All of it is from our Lord. So having explained the path of the people firmly grounded in knowledge, then he mentions the path of the people of innovation. He said, as for the person who takes hold of the mutashabih, as for the person who takes hold of that which is unclear, and leaves aside the decisive, then he is one who believes in a part of the book and disbelieves in a part. So the one, and then he gives an example with this, the eye that we had from Surah Shura. He said, so the one who takes hold of the first part of the ayah and says, لَيْسَ كَنِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, like in Surah Shura, ayah 11, there is nothing like him. Whoever takes hold of that part and then says, this proves negation of the attributes. Because if we were to affirm attributes, we would be affirming likeness. This is the argument that some people of innovation make. They take this part of the ayah, basically they say that there is nothing like Allah, and they say, therefore we deny His attributes, because if we affirm them, we will be affirming something like them. So therefore we deny the attributes. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is someone from those who have deviation in their hearts, because he has not taken the whole of the ayah. Because at its end, he says, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So he affirmed for himself names and attributes. So this shows that affirming them does not necessitate likeness, مُشَابَهَ. Then he gives the opposite example, a person of deviation who takes the end of the ayah, a At least the first part, he said. And likewise, the person who takes hold of the end of the ayah and says, "Wa huwa as-sami'ul basir," and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, and says, this means that he resembles his creation. There is no difference between the hearing and seeing of the creation and the hearing and seeing of the Creator. Sheikh said, we say, this is a mushabbih. The person who says this is a mushabbih. One who declares resemblance between the Creator and the creation. And Allah's refuge is sought. Since he is leaving the first part of the ayah, laysa kamithlihi shay, there is nothing like him. And just taking this last part. وَالَّذِي يَأْخُذُ بِأَوَّلِهَا, there's a slight printing earlier, so there's a line missing from أَوَّلِهَا, the third word of the line. وَالَّذِي يَأْخُذُ بِأَوَّلِهَا, and the person who takes its first part and leaves its last part, he is a mu'attil, a denier of the attributes. And as for the believer, the true believer, the mu'min, the person of tawheed, the mu'ahid, then he is the one who takes the whole of the ayah and who says, "Kullum min indira bina," all is from our Lord. Surah Al-Imran, the third surah, ayah 7. And it continues with the quote of Imam Ahmad, radiallahu anhu, and he said, وَلَا نُزِيلُ عَنْهُ صِفَةً مِنْ صِفَاتِهِ لِشَنَاعَةٍ شُنِّعَةٍ, and we do not take away any attribute of his on account of any false condemnation. And we do not take away any attribute of his on account of any false condemnation. Any false charges which people make. Sheikh Fawzan said, we affirm whatever Allah has affirmed for himself, even if the deniers of the attributes condemn us and say, you are mushabbiha, you are people who declare resemblance, or who say, you are mujassima, you are people who give the Creator a body, or who say, you are hashawiyya, you are riffraff, to the end of those things that they say. Sheikh Fawzan is actually quoting charges that were made by the deniers of the attributes in the past. These charges that they made against the people of the Sunnah and made against the Imams of the Sunnah. They say, you affirm as Allah's attributes, you are mushabbiha, people who declare Allah to be like his creation, you are mujassima, you are people who say that Allah has a body and body parts, and you are hashawiyya, you just lower the riffraff in people. No understanding at all, just the lowest of the lowest dregs. They said to the end of what they say. He said, so the people of misguidance, they describe the people of Tawheed and affirmation. They describe them as being mujassima, those who give a body to the Creator. And they describe them as being mushabbiha, those who declare resemblance between the creation and the Creator. To the end of that which they said. He said, so we do not care about these sayings as long as we are adhering to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger. Then what they say about us will not harm us. What they call us from evil nicknames. We want to please our Lord, and therefore we do not just want to please the creation. And continues with quote of Imam Ahmad, وَلَا نَتَعَدَّ الْقُرْآنَ وَالْحَدِيثِ, and we do not exceed the Qur'an and the Hadith. Sheikh Fawzan said, this just emphasizes that which has preceded, that the names and the attributes of Tawqifiyya are only affirmed with text. And everything from the knowledge of the Ghayb, everything from the knowledge of the hidden and unseen, and the affairs of the hereafter, and the affairs of the grave, all of it is from Ilmul Ghayb, the knowledge of the hidden and unseen. we do not enter into it except in accordance with an evidence, with a textual proof, a delirium. And we do not go beyond, we do not exceed the textual evidences. And he continues to record from Imam Ahmad, وَلَا نَعْلَمُ كَيْفَ كُنْتُمْ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا بِتَصْدِيقِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَتَفْلِيتِ الْقُرْآنِ. And we do not know how that is, except that we affirm the truth of what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and affirm whatever the Qur'an affirms. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in explanation, we do not know the kayfiyyah, we do not know how. We know the meaning of the attributes, we know the meaning, and we affirm it. However, we do not know the how of the names and the attributes. And therefore, when a man said to Imam Ahmad, when a man said to Imam Malik, Rahimahullah, Ar-Rahman al-Arsh istawa, kayfa istawa? A man quoted the ayah from Surah Taha, the fifth ayah, 20th surah, with explanation, the Most Merciful ascended over the throne. How did he ascend? Shaykh said he was asking him about the kayfi, about how. So Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he lowered his head, and then he raised his head, and he had sweat on his brow, out of shame before Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and he said, Al-istiwa ma'loof, wal-kayfu majhool, wal-iman bihi wajib, wa-su'al anhu bid'ah, wa-ma araf illa rajul su'. Imam Malik responded, the istiwa, the ascending, is known, and the how is unknown, and having iman in it is obligatory. And asking about it is an innovation. And I do not see except that you are an evil person. And then he commanded that he should be expelled from the gathering. And in the footnote we mentioned, the referencing of this has preceded me, and then the reference that earlier on in the footnote to Sharh Usul Iqtiqad Ahl al-Sunnah of Al-Malikani. Shaykh Rawzan said, so we attest to the truth of what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if we do not know the how of it, even if we do not know the how, the kayfiyyah of it, we musaddiq, we attest to its truthfulness, because the Messenger, or because he is the Messenger of Allah, one who conveyed the message from Allah, the Perfect and Most High. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th surah, ayah 7, with the explanation, and whatever the Messenger gives you, then take it. And whatever he forbids you from, then desist, or withhold. And then he quotes the second ayah, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Surah Al-Nisa, the 4th surah, ayah 64, with the explanation, and we have not sent any messenger except that he should be obeyed by the permission of Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the person who does not affirm to the truthfulness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regard to the like of these matters, and these are the greatest matters, and it is the names and attributes, since they are from the Aqeedah, the Creed of Belief. Indeed, it is the very backbone of Aqeedah, Creed and Belief. So the person who does not attest to the truthfulness of what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in these things, then he will not be one who is obedient to the Messenger. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will not be one who is a believer, that he is indeed the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, we follow the messenger and we follow the Quran. So whatever the Quran affirms, we affirm it. And whatever the messenger affirms, then we affirm it. And whatever the Quran negates or denies, or whatever the messenger negates, then we negate it. And we do not go beyond the Quran and the Sunnah in negating or affirmation. Neither in nafi, negating, denying, nor in ithbat, nor in affirm. This is the way of the Salaf al-Salih. This is the way of the pious predecessors. And then that's why the quote of Imam Ahmad, Rahimahullah, finishes, and Imam Ibn Qudamah follows it with a quote from Imam Shafi'i, Rahimahullah, which we'll take next time, inshaAllah. Walhamdulillah, sallallahu ala Muhammad. And the voice of God, okay? The danger of the Mufawwidah is, part of the danger is that they're present and there are many of them, and they don't come out and you don't find somebody coming along with a label on his head or a badge and say, I'm a Mufawwidah, you don't find them. What's dangerous is they're a large number and you find them in many different groups and under different names, and they try and make it out as if what they're doing with them is something that's a safe approach. They point the people, as the Shaykh indicated there amongst those who point the finger at the people, the Sunnah, and say, your people who make the resemblance between Allah and the Creator. Whereas we affirm the words, we affirm the words of the Quran, we affirm the words of the Sunnah, and the meaning is really to Allah. So we affirm the word, as we have to, and the meaning, we take a safe approach, a safe path, we leave the meaning to Allah. And then, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions in Al-Hawiyyah, not only that, they don't suffice themselves with that and say we're ignorant, because in other words, it's just stating ignorance. Basically, what I'm saying is, we're people of ignorance. We affirm the word, anyone can see the word in the Quran, the word is there, we affirm the word. Or the hadith, they say, look, we affirm the word, it's there. The meaning, they say we're ignorant of the meaning of the word. But they don't just limit the ignorance to themselves, they say, this is the path of the Salaf. This is the path of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That they were like, just the same as us. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the Quran to them, they heard words in their ears which they didn't understand. They didn't understand what the Prophet was saying. So the ignorance which they affirm themselves, they accuse the companions of it as well. And then anyone who says what the people of Sunnah say, no, what is the correct path, is that we affirm Allah's words and we affirm the meaning of His words. Allah sent down His book, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions, that the Quran was sent down with a purpose, that it should be understood, that it should be reflected upon and understood and then acted upon. And the whole of the Quran is to be understood and acted upon. For these people, they're saying the most important aspects of the Quran, the text of Allah's names and attributes, that we're ignorant of, and we don't want any meaning of that. So in other words, they're ignorant of their Lord. All we know about their Lord is just words. Words with no meaning. And I said this was the path of the companions and the tabi'in and the imams and so on until this time. This is the correct way. And you people, the some of you want to affirm meanings for these attributes, you almost have to have. So affirming the meaning for these attributes, you're making the creator like creation. So that shows something of the danger of these people. And that people are sometimes more easily fooled by these people. As for the Jahmiyyah, those who come out and say they just deny the attributes, we do not believe in these attributes. These people are more dangerous than that. They say, no, we affirm the attributes and we affirm the wording, but then the meaning, we have to play safe with the meaning, I think I said about the meaning. We leave these things up to Allah and they disguise the evil of that way. And they are heavily refuted by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and likewise by his student, Imam ibn Qayyim. strongly refuted the fact that he's not my widow. And I made clear that this is not the way, this is not the way of the companions, this is not the way of the Sabbath. That's the way of ignorance, it's a newly invented way. And it does involve declaring the companions to be people of ignorance, people who heard the words of the Quran and didn't understand them. And then not only did they not understand them, but they didn't even bother to ask. That Allah sent down ayat of the Quran describing himself, and they did not understand them, and they didn't even bother to ask. Allah musta'an. They asked about matters of purification, they asked about the matters of toilet manners and the like. But when it came to matters about knowledge about Allah, the most important of all affairs, they were ignorant of it, and they didn't even ask. Teachers, they want to teach them to the Lord, but they must almost rely on this in the ignorance of their Lord, or in their likeness of words, with no meaning. Now, as the people of knowledge point out, one of the main ways in which a person gains and increases the love of his Lord is by gaining knowledge and awareness of his Lord. By gaining knowledge and awareness of Allah's attributes. The more you know about the attributes of Allah, about His mercy, His justice, His perfect knowledge, and so on and so on, then the more your love of your Lord increases. And the more ignorant a person is, if a person just says, well, I know this word about Him, I don't know what it means, I just know this word about Allah, but I don't know what they mean, I don't actually know anything about Him, I don't actually know the attributes of Him, then how can that person truly love His Lord? Then how can that person truly act in accordance with that way of love of Him and seek to please Him? Allah shows the importance of learning the name of the attributes of Allah and learning the means and understanding the means and then acting in accordance with that. Subhanallah, Allah, 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 Allah,